Aren't you glad that by God's grace and mercy we can go to the highest place that He has for us? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You, we worship You, we honor You, we magnify Your name. We're grateful, Lord, that we have this time, this opportunity to worship You, the Most High God, our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming King, but our Shepherd that tends to every situation of our lives. Father, right now, Lord, we just ask that You just lead us and guide us into Your perfect will. We submit humbly to You in a place of expectancy. And anything that would be a hindrance, we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, that where Your Spirit is, there's liberty. Where Your Spirit is, there's truth that's flowing. Lord, in each one of us, we need to hear, "Thus saith the Lord." Thank You, Lord, for eyes to see and ears to hear. We worship You and we magnify You. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. You know, everything in our life there is, it comes down to a struggle. Because you're struggling for faith. I'm struggling for faith. God's given us that faith, but the devil's trying to take it away from us. And, you know, when we meet opposition, we meet many different things. And, you know, as we talk about a lot of times, we're standing on the covenant. But also in our life with that covenant, we've got a contradiction. And that contradiction, it talks really loud sometimes. Because it wants us to hear what it's saying, and it wants us to start talking out of fear. You know, I need to stay in the place where I talk out of faith. And that when I get in fear, that I get angry. And that wants me to start talking out of anger instead of talking out of love. And all those things stop the flow in the will of God. I got some scriptures. I don't know what we're going to do with it. We're just going to follow the Lord. I want you to keep in your mind, in your mind's eye, in your spirit, that God is a God that is a God of restitution. You know, restitution, it means restoration, but it goes beyond just restoration. It's payback. You know, the devil has took a lot of things from our lives. He's a thief that steals, kills, and destroys. Amen? And so we need to be in the place and the position where we stand on what God has said. So let's... I don't really know how these scriptures are going to tie together, so you just get in here and help me. Amen. Open up to the minor prophet Joel, Joel chapter 2. Of course, Joel chapter 2 is kind of a prelude in part, the last part of the chapter, to what happened on the day of Pentecost. But let's pick it up in verse number 21. Joel chapter 2. Verse 21. If you're there, say amen. Notice what the Word of God says. It says, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord might do great things." Hallelujah. "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things." Will do. Say, "I serve a will do God." Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Whitby, would you pray? Yes. 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 That's right. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Whitby. Thank you for honoring the Word. Hallelujah. So, everything in your life and everything in my life is either going to be of faith or it's going to be of fear. And we know that faith is of our God and fear is of the devil. Amen. And so here, one of these many times in the Old Testament and the New Testament that we have the command to fear not. And so don't you love it that God, when He gives us a command, He gives us the ability to fulfill that command. And so when He tells me to fear not, then I'm able to tell Him, listen, this is where I'm at, and this is where Your Word is, and I want to be elevated to that point. And the way that we're elevated to that point is we recognize and realize that God is saying that He wants to do great things in your life. He wants to do great things in my life. He has a plan. And He's a will-do God. He's a can-do God. And so that's just the direction that we're going to go in this. Now notice, drop down if you would in this second chapter and look at some of the things that He wants to promise. Look at verse 23. He says, be glad then. You and I, we've got to make a choice to be glad. It's a free will choice. You say, well, Brother Greg, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what I'm going through. If you knew what I was dealing with and what I was going through, you wouldn't tell me to be glad. I'm not. God is. Amen? So God says that you have to make the choice. I have to make the choice to have joy. Now, we may not be happy about situations and circumstances, but we can be joyful, amen, because joy is of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a fruit of the Spirit. You love joy, the second fruit, amen. So you being born again by the Spirit of God, you have the assurance that you have joy in your life. And so you've got to tell the devil, devil, you're a liar. God told me to be glad. He told me to rejoice. So I'm going to rejoice. Now look what He says. Because your God is a will-do God, a can-do God. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Zion, Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, tells us it's a church. So He's talking to you tonight. He's talking to me. Amen. He's talking to the church. He said, I want you to rejoice in the Lord your God. Now this is the reason why you and I can have joy. We're not rejoicing in the situation, in the struggle, in the trial. We're not in the place where we're like some people who just walk oblivious to what's going on. We know what's going on. I mean, we understand that there's a struggle and there's problems, but we understand also that Jesus has overcome all things. And He told you and I, He said, be of good what? Be of good cheer. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcame the world. So your confidence is that everything that the devil's trying to do in your life, it opens up a door for God to do something better in your life. God will always show out and do more for you than what the devil can do against you. Amen? All right. So be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. Now, as this is pointing to what, in part to what happened on the day of Pentecost, you and I, we 2,000 plus years hence, we're in a place where we need to say that what God had for me before and what God has for me now, He wants to pour it out all over my life. That's why I can rejoice, because I recognize and I realize that God is a will-do. He is a can-do God. He wants to bless me. He wants to meet me right in the middle of my storm at where I can hear peace be still. He wants me to see His hand outreached, just like Peter did, where I can get out of the boat and I can walk on top of what is trying to paralyze me. Amen? That's our God. And so here we are tonight. We're in a place where He says, no matter what is coming against you, I've got the rain of the Holy Ghost that will overwhelm you. Amen? That will meet you where you're at and will cause you to be productive in every area of your life. Now notice what He said in verse 24. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. Isn't that something? Every lack in your life, every lack in my life, God's saying, I want to bless you in that lack. I want to meet you in that situation, in that circumstance, and I want you to allow me to cause you to see my goodness, to see my grace for you, to see my blessing in your life. I want your life to overflow. See, the devil wants us to make us think that God will always do something for somebody else, but He won't do it for us. But God will do it for you. He'll do it for me because He loves us. He is just a giver. That's all your God, my God, knows is how to give. Amen? And He wants to give in abundance to us, but we got to be willing to see where, what He said, what did He say here? He said that your floor and your vat. We've got to look at our floor and our vat in our life and say, okay, here's where it's at, but my God is wanting to overwhelm me with His blessings. You've got to stand up and you say, wait a minute, I've done what Jesus said in Luke 6:38. I have been a giver. Come on, whether, and we're not just talking money now, we're talking about love, we're talking about grace, we're talking about mercy, we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about patience, all the things that truly make up life, you are a giving group of people, amen? So you qualify. So right now, you take your floor in your situation, and your bad in your situation, and you tell the devil, you put him on notice. God said, when I would give, that my God would give back to me. Amen? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Come on, that's the kind of God that you serve, a God of restitution. And so we've got to be in the place, though, to receive it. Amen? We've got to believe that the windows of heaven are opened up by the door of Jesus Christ. That God's willing. Amen? That He's willing to give unto us, but we've got to be willing to receive, to take by faith. And notice what He says in the next verse, verse 25. God says, what's my will? He said, and I will, that's His will, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And of course, God allowed this army to come unto Israel to bring them into correction. There are certain things in my life that God had to take His hand off to allow to happen, but it was for my betterment. Amen? He said, as many as I love, I correct. And thank God for correction. But I don't want you to get caught up on that. I want you to look that it doesn't matter what stage that you're in, here it was the complete devastation. This is a four-stage attack that completely wiped out their harvest. Completely wiped out. They didn't have grocery stores. They didn't have freezers. They didn't have the ability to can and stuff like you and I do. And so when He's talking about this, He talks about it wiped out their whole livelihood. Amen? And so tonight, you and I may be in a place, in a situation, in a circumstance in our life that it looks like that there's no hope. But your God, my God, is saying, it doesn't matter if there's zero in your floor, if there's zero in your vat, I'm the God that can fill it up. And not only can I will do it. I'm willing to do it. Amen? But you and I have got to just take Him at His word and say, Lord, I believe that, and I'm willing to receive it. Amen? He said, I will restore. This word restore, the word from the Hebrew, shalom, I believe it is, it means to complete. Lacking no good thing. That's the God that you serve. He wants you to be complete. Complete is that you have peace of mind when the whole world is falling apart. Amen? Complete is that you have love in your heart when everybody around you is full of anger. Come on, the completeness of God is not the way the world sees it, but it's exactly what you and I need when we need it. Amen? So what we want to do is, we want to be in the place that we hear this word, and we want to make ourselves ready for a visitation. Because when you and I hear the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is moving in our life, then He's getting ready to visit our situation. And if He's ready to visit our situation, if we're ready to offer Him a sacrifice of praise, that's an act of faith, then all of a sudden, things start happening. Go with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 18, and let's see how that Abraham and Sarah made themselves ready for a visitation, and it got them into a great place. Amen? In Genesis chapter 18, look at verse number 1. Genesis 18:1. And the Lord appeared unto him, unto Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, you know, we've all been there in a hot August day here in Arkansas when it's so hot you can hardly get your breath. The wind is so, there's no wind at all. The air is so still and full of humidity. And so you can see this. You can see Abraham sitting there in the tent door. And he's in the plain of Mamre. Mamre meaning strength. He's in the place of strength because as he's sitting in his tent door, he's pitching his tent, not like Lot, but he's pitching his tent toward God. Come on, you're here on a Sunday night. You could be anywhere you wanted to be, but you said, I'm coming to the house of God. You're pitching your tent. You're putting your life toward the Lord. And in the plain of memory is the plain of strength. In other words, when you and I are looking toward the Lord, no matter how things look, we're in the place of strength. Amen? And so I want you to see him there. Now notice it says, and he lifted up his eyes. Now, and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. when you and I are in a place, in a position where no matter what our circumstance is, no matter what it looks like or feels like, that we, when we're feeling the unction, we're feeling the presence, we're feeling the, as we looked at this morning, the troubling of the waters, the stirring, we're expecting God to do something, and we're in a place where our heart is humbled before Him, He's going to what? He's going to stop. God's always moving. But He wants to stop at your house. Amen. He wants to stop at my house. He stops at the house that's looking for Him. Come on, say, I'm looking. Come, we're looking. Your house, you're building it upon the rock. You're building your life upon the rock. And so you're dependent upon that Word. And when you're dependent upon the Word of God, He shows up. So, verse number 3. And he said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. Now notice this, verse 6. And Abraham hastened unto the tent, unto Sarah, and said, Make thee ready. This thing is going dead, I think. Make thee make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. So here, you and I, we got to be in the place and the position where we know what we have to offer to God. Here, Abraham is. He knows that they're on a journey. And he knows that this is the pre-incarnate Christ, and he's on a mission. And God stops by because He's looking. Tonight, you're looking for the Lord, amen, or you wouldn't be here. And so you're looking, so you qualify for God to do a work in your life. And you're willing to do what Abraham was. Abraham, he went and he said, let's make some things ready. Let's don't miss our moment. Let's give God what we have. Now, here they're feeding Him in the natural. But tonight, you and I, we worship the Lord in the spiritual, and we're giving back to God what's due unto Him. Nobody else is worthy of your praise. Nobody else is worthy of what God has gave you. And tonight, you're here to worship the Lord and to give back to Him. Amen? And as you give back to Him, all of a sudden, then revelation starts coming in your life and productivity starts coming in your life because Abraham was looking because he was willing to give what he had. All of a sudden, 2 great things happened out of his life. Out of this meeting, what happened? First of all, he found out and he got the covenant confirmed again to him that at this point of season of life, that about this time next year, that what? God was going to visit Sarah, and Isaac, laughter, joy was coming. Joy was coming, amen? And so, you and I, tonight, we've got to stand on the Word that we've heard, and we hold on to that Word, and we allow it to produce what only it can produce in your life and my life, amen? God doesn't change His mind. And so, a lot of times the devil says, well, this hasn't happened, that hasn't happened, maybe God's forgot. No, God hasn't forgot, amen? There is a perfect season and a perfect timing in your life. Turn over and look. Let's hear the words of what he said in verse number 9, Genesis 18, 9. And the Lord said, I will certainly... verse 9, I'm sorry, that was verse 10. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, she's in the tent. Now, you and I have got to recognize and realize that God's always going to place where we're at. Now, he knew where Sarah was, but he wanted Abraham to find out where she's at. Tonight, God wants to ask you and I some questions to find out where we're at, to find out where our fruitfulness is going to be coming from. Amen? Glory. And so he says, he asked this question, where is Sarah? Where is the productivity? Where is the promise that I gave you? Where is it coming through? Verse number 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. You've got to recognize and realize that you're not living your life. I'm not living my life unto my own. Some of the promises of God are dependent upon who we have a covenant with. Thank God we got a covenant with an unchanging God, but you and I, some of the promises that He gave us, they are personal, but some of them, they include others. And so sometimes there's a situation in your life and my life that it seems like God is withholding His best from us, but it's not that at all. It's that God has got to get every one of us on the same page. So God wants you to be encouraged tonight and to know that He's working and He's speaking a word and it's going through the tent door. It's coming through your life, in other words, and other people are hearing. And as they hear what thus saith the Lord, it's lining some things up where God can make restitution. He can bring restoration. Amen? And so be encouraged. God has a timetable for you. Now notice this. Sarah, she goes through all of these things, you know, about it's too late. Aren't you glad that God is the God that is outside of time? She laughed within herself and she said, how can it be now that I am old and that my husband is old? How can this be? You know, but God says in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now that word hard is palah. And you could read about it, but it's God's wonderful miracles. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Tonight, I want you to stand on whatever God's spoke to you, and I want you to let Him reaffirm it to you, and know that He is going to bring restitution in your situation. There's going to be a repayment. You know, in Zacchaeus, when he got the tax collector, Zacchaeus, when he got delivered and he got saved and born again, the first thing he wanted to do was what? Restore fourfold. He wanted to bring restitution. That's the kind of God that you and I serve. When we come into relationship with Him, He sees what has been stolen from your life and my life, and part of that abundant life salvation is God bringing back to you what has been taken. Amen? But we've got to hear the Word and we've got to say, God, I agree with You. Nothing's too hard. Nothing is too hard for my God. If I need a miracle, He'll create it. Amen? That's the kind of God you serve. And so tonight, we've got to be in the place of expectancy. Everything that God's doing there in the book of Joel, everything He's doing here in Abraham and Sarah's life is just getting them ready for His best. Amen? Okay. Now, let's go to the New Testament. I want to look at a verse of Scripture so we can see some things. In Romans chapter 10, everyone in here can quote this verse, but I want us to see if we would had kept reading there, and I guess we'll go back and read it, but in the book of Joel, if we'd kept reading there, it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Amen? And so that's a covenant promise to you. So part of seeing your floor full and your vat full, part of seeing God will do what He said He would do and bring you in the place of the former and the latter rain to bless you is that you need to call on the name of the Lord in that situation, in that struggle. Recognize and realize that you're putting it under the name of Jesus. Paul here, he quotes this verse in Romans chapter 10. You can look at it in verse number 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Same premise as what Joel was talking about. So a lot of people, they be careful with what you read in your Bible commentaries and so forth. They like to limit you and keep you from receiving part of the Word of God because they want you to think, well, this is not for you. This is just for the Jews and this is for that. And Paul, he just introduced everything in Joel chapter 2. He introduced it in the New Testament. He tied it in together with what happened on the day of Pentecost. So you qualify. Amen? And besides, Paul let us know when he taught the church at Galatia that there's neither Jew nor... Come on now. There's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. That we're all in all. We're Christ Jesus's. Amen? We're His. And so we qualify for the Word of God. So right now, I've got to be in the place and the position where I recognize what Joel was prophesying. Joel was prophesying that there would come a day that there would be a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And that was going to lead to the coming of the Lord. Now, everybody that you talk to in their spirit, they feel an urgency like they've never felt before about the coming of the Lord. So if everybody feels that urgency, there's a bearing of witness in our spirit of that, then we need to know that God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit like He's never poured it out. Why? Because He wants to save the lost. He wants to bring the backsliders in. And so you and I have got to be in a place and a position where we're living a life of restoration, of restitution, that we're showing the world that it doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done, where we've come from, we're living totally by grace. We're dependent upon the grace of God. We're dependent upon His mercy. And so as we start living out of that reality, that's part of how God is going to use your life and my life as a witness, as a testimony, to get a host of the lost and the backsliders and bring them in. Amen? All right. So here we are. We're in a place where we've got to learn how to call upon the Lord. We've got to learn how to allow Him to be the Lord of the situation. See, so many times when we struggle with a thing for a long period of time, especially, the devil puts an emphasis about that, trying to make it a stronghold in our life. And he wants us to get into a place where we just settle for less than God's best. We just accept where we're at, what we're dealing with, and say, well, thank God I'm going to heaven, but... But when Jesus met people, He didn't leave them at the but. He took them on past it, amen? And so we want to be in the place and the position where we apply this and we recognize what He said. Now, go back up to verse number... 8. Romans 10 and 8. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. We've got to call on the name of the Lord by His word. The word of faith. So many times in the past, I've shared with you and been honest with you, I called upon the Lord out of my fear. Out of my anger. I let fear talk. I let anger talk. I let hurt talk. I let all of these things talk rather than calling on the name of the Lord in the place and the position of faith. But when I come back to the place and I repent and I ask the Holy Spirit to bring restitution in this situation, then He gives me the word that I need to what? I need to pray. I need to speak out. And when I pray His word, guess what? The word that comes from heaven always makes it back to heaven. Amen? All right, so notice what He says. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So Joel said, and we didn't go back and read it. You look at it, mark it in your Bible, Joel 2:25-26, I believe it is, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. But you've got to have the word of the Lord. You've got to have that word for your situation, that specific situation. And you've got to see that that word is a word of faith, and faith creates, it enables, it empowers, it brings through the windows of heaven the blessing of God. So if anything else, other than faith is coming out of my mouth or coming out of my life, it closes off what God would have for me. Amen? So I've got to recognize that, and I've got to quickly repent. And then I'm right back in right standing. I'm right back in the right place to be able to hear from God and to be able to say what He'd have me to say and see His salvation. Amen? I want to see it, don't you? His provision. I want to see His deliverance. I want to see His hand work. Now, He said in verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, unto deliverance. So you'll never go any farther. I'll never go any farther than my confession. So I've got to recognize and realize there's a great war going on, and I've got to make sure that I speak the word of faith. I've got to make sure that I let God have His open door in my life of Jesus Christ to bring restoration, to bring restitution, to bring into my life what is rightfully mine. See, I can live and die and I can miss God's best, but I don't want to do that. Amen? I want to get in the place where God can do what only God said He could do. Okay. So, when you're thinking about these verses of Scripture, I want you to see something with me here. God wants us to know that He is working things ahead in your life and my life. You realize that God is putting people ahead of you in your situation to make them aware of who you are? That's a powerful thing, isn't it? Let's open up your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 8, and I want you to see an example here of how God can bring restoration when it seems impossible. Now tonight, you've got to see that you're willing to go wherever the Word of God sends you. And because you're willing to go wherever the Word of God sends you, that Word that you're standing on, that Word that you're believing by, that Word that is operating in your life, it will complete what it started. Amen? And we'll document that out of this Word. Look at this. 2 Kings 8:1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman. This is the Shunammite woman. Remember, in the 4th chapter, the raising of her son by the power of God. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored. Now mark that down, restitution. Had restored to life, caused to live, saying, arise and go thou and thy household and sojourn whithersoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. Now, because Israel had sinned, God was trying to chastise them and correct them. And, you know, Elijah, everything that Elijah had done, Elisha, he'd done twice as much. So when Elijah prophesied and the famine come, it was for 3.5 years. And so here, the double portion anointing on Elisha's life, there's a famine for 7 years. But the point I want you to get is that God is so interested in your life and my life that when trouble's coming around us, He wants to give us a word to get us in the right place. We don't have to go through what everybody else is going through. Come on now. So He loves this woman. He loves this child, and they're living in obedience. Tonight, when you and I are trying, we're living by grace, but we're trying to live in obedience to God, it gets His attention. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us. He wants us to avoid some pitfalls. And so here the Word comes to this woman saying, you don't have to go through what everybody else is going through. You and I, we don't have to beat our way through life. We've got the living one, Jesus, in our life to give us strength and give us knowledge and ability we need for every situation. Verse number 2. And the woman arose. Come on, we've got to obey the Word. Amen. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. See, a lot of times we do stuff that to other people don't make sense. But that doesn't matter. We've heard from God. And when we hear from the Lord, we do what He says. Amen. And it doesn't matter if anybody else understands or not, because we're not here to please man. We're here to please the Lord. Amen. So she had that word and she went to the arch enemies. Come on. But she knew where she was supposed to go. She would be taken care of. Now notice this. And it came to pass that at the 7 years end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Now notice this. She knows that she's been gone 7 years, and she knows that to be able to get restoration, restitution, to be able to get what's hers, because she come back after the 7 years, somebody else has her property. Tonight, somebody else may have some of what God has gave you, but it's not theirs. Come on, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It doesn't belong to the devil. Your joy, your peace, your sustenance, God's promises does not belong to the devil. They belong to you, His child. Amen? And it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. You and I, we've got to come to the throne of grace. Come on, we come to that throne room, the mercy seat of Jesus Christ. Amen? Know who you're talking to. Amen? The one who can meet you where you're at and can bring restitution, restoration. Verse number 4. Now, this is how good God is. I want you to get a picture of this as we read this. Verse number 4. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, and Elisha's servant, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. Now think about this. What are the chances that Gehazi is talking with the king at the very moment that this little woman, she lost her husband, and it was just her and her son now, that they come in to meet the king about their dilemma? What did we talk about this morning? For your steps are ordered by the Lord. You're walking with the Lord. Amen. You're going somewhere. And because God knows where you're going, because you're walking by His Word and not by anything else, He puts people in the right place at the right time in your life. Now think about this. Here Gehazi is talking about, said, let me tell you what Elisha done. This boy was dead, and God used him to raise him from the dead. Now all of a sudden, can you imagine? Now this is Ahab's child, the most evil king of all, and he saw what his father had done with Naboth's vineyard. Remember the vineyard? And it brought the judgment of God on his life. And so there's no doubt that God is preparing him. You better let go of anything you're holding on to, because we don't know who had the land, but I would have some supposition here that the king had something to do with it. Amen? Now stay with me. He said, tell me what great things Elisha hath done. And it came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored, mark it down in your mind's eye, he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman. This is her son whom Elisha restored to life. Oh my goodness. Tonight, God is orchestrating some things in your life, and He's talking about you. He's talking about your situation, and He's putting the very chess pieces together to be able to get you in the place and the position to have divine favor with somebody where He can pour out a blessing in your life. He can restore to you what the thief stole. Amen? That's the God that we serve. I want you to be so encouraged. I want you to be expecting. I want you to be calling upon the name of the Lord. I want to call upon the name of the Lord. There's some situations in my and Donna's life, family situations, that we believe that God can restore. Amen? We believe that God can take and put the impossible back together. Only God can do it. But He can do it. All right. Now notice, verse number 6. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. You and I got to know who we're talking to. Just tell him. Tell the king just exactly how it is. Amen? Come on, see the typology here. See the type and the shadow. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer. Now, aren't you glad that you're in the perfect place to receive providence through man? God's the one that brings it, but God gives you divine favor with the right man, the right woman, in the right situation. And God is going to put them in the place where they're here to minister to your need. Woo! Hallelujah! And look what he said. Here was the decree of the king. Now, the decree of the king is the final say. Amen? Not what the devil says, not what I feel, not what it looks like, but what thus saith the king. Restore her all that was hers. Oh, thank God. That's nice. That's nice that she can have her farm back. That's good. But see, your God, my God, He doesn't just bring what was originally ours. He's going to bring to her everything that she lost in that 7 years because she went where God told her to go. God will honor you when you honor Him. You go where God tells you to go. It looks like you're in a losing proposition, but God has greater for you than you ever dreamed of. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. We left a situation where there was great income. We left a situation where I never had that much money in my life. And we come here and there is no money. God said, go. Come on now. You and I are in a place where God can pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. Amen? And notice what he says. Restore unto her all that was hers and all the fruits of the field. Oh, that's nice. But notice, since the day that she left the land, even until now. God knows where you've been. He knows where you're standing in Him. And He wants to bring into your life, into my life, the complete restoration. But we've got to believe Him. Amen? And we've got to stand against all the counter voices. Come on, there's a lot of counter voices. Real quickly, go with me to the New Testament. Let's look at Jesus. In Matthew chapter 12, for sake of time, drop down to verse number 10. Now, in this 12th chapter, you see that they was arguing with Jesus, the religious were, about what He could do and couldn't do. Nothing's changed. Amen? But He told them, He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Aren't you glad He's the Lord of your rest? He's the Lord of my rest. And look at verse number 10. So he went to their synagogue. He went to their church to show them that what He had said was true. And behold, there was a man. Come on, there's always somebody that Jesus is wanting to reach. Amen? There was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked Him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse Him. The word here, accuse here, is where we get our word plaintiff in a court of law. See, everything that's happening in your life, in my life, you have got God on the throne, you got Jesus Christ as your defense lawyer, and you got Satan the accuser, the plaintiff. He's standing against you. He's trying your life every day. But thank God that you've got Jesus. Amen? But you've got to believe that. You've got to see that. Okay, now notice. Verse number 11. And He said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not hold it up and lift it out? How much then is this man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? You know, God is the God that is beyond religion. Religion puts you and I in bondage. A relationship with Jesus makes us completely free. And He wants you to see how valuable you are. Man puts value on possessions. God puts value on you. Amen? Verse 13. Then said He to the man, stretch forth thy hand. Now this is the key for you and I to be in the place of restitution. This is the key for us to be able to receive everything that God would have for us. We got to recognize that God has a word for us in that situation, and that word has got to be greater than our fear or than our anger or our misunderstanding. So, I want you to picture this in your mind's eye. Now, this man here, his hand that's withered, I want you to see it in your mind's eye. It's dried up. It has no life in it. And Jesus has the gall to say, stretch forth your hand. You say, well, that was Jesus. But you realize people get mad in church services when the Spirit of God says to do something? Nothing's changed. And this man could have got mad and aggravated and said, are you nuts? If I could move my hand, I would move it. But when the word of the Lord comes forth, it gives you and I an option. And the option is I can stay where I'm at, or I can hear the word and I can receive it, and I can allow the word to move me to where otherwise I would never be able to go. Amen? So Jesus says, stretch forth thy hand. And He stretched it forth, and it was what? Like as the other. The word here is reconstitute. You know, think about it. That's why we can say that the arm was dried up, because it's like instant potatoes. But when the Spirit of God, the water of the Word, come across of it, the power, all of a sudden it come alive. See, the devil doesn't want you to know that you can do what God says you can do. You can. Because you serve a will-do, a can-do God. You are a will-do, a can-do person, amen? Kind after kind. Seed time and harvest. You've sowed some seed, and it's time to have a harvest. It's time to allow God to bring in your life what you need. But you've got to see it. I've got to see it. Amen? All right. Now notice. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Destroy Jesus. Destroy the Word. Now we look at that and we think, well, that's literally just talking about Jesus. And yes, it is talking about Jesus. But they went out and they wanted to destroy what God had done. Now this is the key, how you and I are in a place where the devil doesn't come back and take from us what God has promised in the Word. The devil, when you pray the prayer of faith and you speak the Word of God and you're in the place and the position where the anointing is flowing and you know that God has heard you and God has given to you what He said, you and I have got to learn to what? Submit unto God, resist the devil. We've got to learn to stand. Stand on what we know. Stand on that word of faith. Because the devil wants to destroy out of your life and my life everything that God has done. Because as you look all through the Word of God, the devil keeps coming back in the same situation. And nothing changes, but my feelings change. So I can't let my feelings get involved. I've got to say, no, the Lord said that I would believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, that I would call on Him, the God of deliverance, the God of provision, and that He would do it. So I've got to stand in that. Because the moment you walk out of a church service, the moment that you get out of your prayer closet, the moment that you get out of your worship time with the Lord, the devil is going to meet you head on to get you to say, well, I thought. Thank God it isn't what I think. Because sometimes there's some crazy thoughts that goes through my head, and they're not mine, they're the devil's. Amen? So here we are tonight. We're in this place, in this promise, that God wants to do something in our life. And so we want to take and allow this Word to be the most powerful thing to us. And so we want to come back, and we want to see who we are one last time. You know these scriptures very well, but I want to close with them. Gehazi was telling the king who this little woman was. And I want you to see that God, by the Spirit of God, is continually talking about you. God, remember how God bragged on Job to the devil? God wants to brag on you. And He does brag on you. And when He does brag on you, that's when you encounter some things. But you've got to recognize who you are and stand in that reality. Amen? Now notice this. Look at, let's just start in verse 14. I'm just going to hold you a couple more minutes. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, the daughters, they are the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now notice this. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know that you're a child of God. You know that you're saved. You know that. And so, since you know that you're a child of God, and you know that there is talk in heaven about you, and the talk is all the promises that God has for you, the ones that God is saying yes to, waiting on my amen, yes and amen, to bring them into our life, we've got to let the devil know, let the world know who we are. How do we do that? Look at this verse number 17. He said, if we're the children of God, then we're heirs. We've got to see that we qualify not out of our own selves, but out of the goodness of God. We qualify to be heirs. We're heirs of God. Now, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If God owns everything, and you're an heir. Now, the book of Hebrews says that God has committed everything unto His Son, Jesus. Right? Well, now notice what it says here. It says you're not only heirs of God, but you're joint heirs with Christ. God has gave everything to Jesus. You're an equal heir with Jesus. Come on, we've got to see where that is. We've got to see where our floor is. And we've got to be in the place and the position where God's pouring out the blessing to let Him fill us up with the reality. And we recognize and realize it's nothing of ourselves, but it's all of him. Amen? Okay, notice, he said, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there is going to be a process. And that process, that suffering is that you've got to stand on the Word. You've got to hold on to the Word. And you've got to recognize and realize that the devil is going to bring the level of promise that God has gave you that is going to be the level of devil that you're going to face. And so, instead of being so discouraged at how big the battle is and how big the enemy is in your life, rejoice, change your focus, and rejoice that God has gave you something that is so big that it scares the hell. Come on, it makes the devil mad, and he's coming against you to try to keep you from God's best. But tonight, you're in a prime place. You're not going to miss your moment. You're going to offer to God everything that you got, like Abraham and Sarah did, and laughter's going to come. Come on, joy is going to come. Restitution is going to come. The promise of the Lord is going to come. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we worship you. We honor you. Lord, you are the heart knower. You search the hearts of every one of us. We're here, hungry for you. And we need you in our lives. We need you to meet some situations and circumstances. We need to be in that place where you're pouring out your blessing, where we can lift up our hearts, raise our hands, speak the word of faith, and receive by faith all of your promises. Lord, right now, everything that is a discouragement in people's lives, let them see that level. And let them see that you have a blessing that is greater than the very attack of the enemy tonight. Let them see that you're the God that wants to restore in our lives the very fullness of what everything the enemy has stolen. Help us to come to that place. Help us to be in the mindset of faith where we can receive. Let it be, Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Would you come tonight? Would you come and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I know that you're the God not only can, but you're the God that's willing. And so I want to come and I want to meet you at the very place of your throne room, the throne of grace, where I recognize and realize I qualify because of your grace. And I want you to pour out your word, pour out your blessings, pour out your promise in my life. I want to leave here forever changed. Would you come tonight and just let the Lord minister to you intimately where you're at? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory.